The closer you can pass the medical survey, informed provisions of the Affordable Care Act. And in this case, I'm going to give you an overview of the medical panel survey, analytical the capacity to inform the Affordable Care Act, and the latest model. And while that's directly related to the spatial policies, we'll see some capacity here in the local issue in the nation's Affordable Care Act, particularly with the state level current exchanges, some of the state level funds that will be made available to the Care Act. So I'm on slide, and I just went background on the agency research and quality mix, and that is to see and safety, see and effectiveness, care for all Americans. And our activities on improving.
Excuse me, Dr. Cohen, just let me know which slide you're talking about.
Yeah, now I'm on ARC activities.
ARC activities, okay. Every time you let me know so I can flip it. Okay, thank you.
And I'm off the speakerphone now, just on the general phone. I was getting a little bit of feedback, so hopefully I'm coming.
Now it's better.
Yeah, so for ARC activities, nature focuses on knowledge creation and creating data resources, and on synthesis and disseminating information to multiple stakeholders to improve the healthcare system, and on implementation, partnering with our stakeholders to implement proven strategies for healthcare improvement. And just to give you a background with the Affordable Care Act, when it was passed in 2010, some of the major initiatives actually took effect, and that was the expansion of dependent coverage for young adults up to age 26. There was also tax credits for small employers who made coverage available to their employees. There was a temporary reinsurance program to offset costs for employer-provided retiree benefits. For the longest time, people with multiple chronic conditions were having difficulty getting insurance. Now there are these high-risk pools for the uninsured with pre-existing conditions. And in 2010, there was the onset of greater availability of consumer insurance information on coverage choices. Moving to the next slide on 2011, the Center for Innovation was established in the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services with a focus on new payment and delivery approaches. There was enhanced physician quality reporting. There's a website that looks at physician performance, and there were some improvements in terms of cutting down on the costs as the elderly on Medicare entered into the donut hole. This year, there's been the onset of Medicare value-based purchasing, and as we move to next year, there will be caps on the tax deductions we took for flexible spending accounts. Right now, you can put as much as $5,000 in a flexible spending account if you're looking for family coverage, and that'll be capped at $2,500. The core of the Affordable Care Act takes effect in 2014, where there's Medicaid expansions where states that opt in will get 100% match for those newly eligible for Medicaid. There'll be the health insurance exchanges in all 50 states. And for those states that are not quite ready, there'll be a federal option for the type of coverage people could opt for. There will be premium subsidies for individuals up to 400% of poverty status. And there will be an individual mandate with shared responsibility for coverage with penalties for those that don't take up coverage by 2014. And then in 2018, there'll be high-cost insurance plans subject to excise tax. So with that said, one of the core surveys of the nation is the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. And it's really a family of surveys. It has a household component, a medical provider component, and an insurance component. I'm on slide M9, which talks about the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, and notes that the survey is an annual survey of 14,000 16,000 households, roughly 32,000 individuals each year, getting detailed information on healthcare utilization, expenditures, insurance coverage, sources of payment, access to care, and healthcare quality. This survey permits not only point estimates of healthcare expenditure, but it'll give you distributional estimates of who are the highest expenditure cases, what is the persistence of their expenditures, and it's also longitudinal in nature in that each panel has 2 years of annual data. So you can look at transitions in family composition and structure and how that impacts on insurance and healthcare use and expenditures. It's also incredibly rich in terms of expenditures for specific conditions and for analysis and trends over time. In addition to the details I told you on use and expenditures, it permits person and family level analyses. It looks at how one's change in employment status would affect changes in insurance coverage. And in addition to being longitudinal in nature and having 2 years' worth of annual healthcare expenditure estimate, it has baseline information in that it is drawn from a larger sample, the National Health Interview Survey. The key features, that slide is number 11, is clearly indicates it's a survey of the civilian non-institutionalized population. It's a subsample of the Health Interview Survey. It oversamples minorities and other targeted policy-relevant groups. We take a sample from the HIS. We collect data over a 2.5-year period with 5 in-person interviews, and it's an overlapping panel design. The next slide shows a graphic representation of taking a sample from the Health Institute Survey in 2007, getting data for 2 years, and then in 2008, the HIS is used to take a new sample. So for 2009, you can see that there are 2 independent national representative samples that could produce the national estimates and improve the quality of the data. To give you a sense of some of the analytical strengths on insurance coverage is a very dynamic classification. And the survey permits estimates of uninsurance or insurance coverage for the first half of the year, for an annual profile, for coverage over a 2-year window, for coverage at any point in time, and with the linkage to the Health Interview Survey, we could get an estimate of the long-term uninsured over 4 consecutive years. The next slide is on research on health insurance coverage, and you have your typical estimates to inform the Affordable Care Act on estimates of the uninsured population by sociodemographics. We look at spelled uninsurance and trends in estimates of the uninsured, but it also allows more details multivariate analysis on looking at what are the factors, drivers, associated with insurance take-up. What are the financial consequences of being uninsured? And what is the relationship between uninsurance and health status? The next slide focuses on the strengths on expenditure analysis. It looks at the impact of economic and behavioral factors, payment and individual demand on healthcare service utilization and expenditures. It allows for analysis of the distribution of expenditures, concentration of expenditures, and the persistence of high levels of expenditures, and allows one to do detailed analysis for chronic conditions and particular attention to trends in prescribed medicine expenditures by specific drug classification. To enhance the quality of the expenditure data, there's a link to the provider survey where for the sample members, we go to all their hospitals and all the physicians they see in a facility setting, a representative sample of their office-based physicians, all the home health care agencies they see, their pharmacies, to get details on the dates of visit, diagnosis, and charges and payments. And then there's a parallel independent survey of businesses to produce national and state-level estimates of the availability of health insurance in the workplace, the cost of coverage, and the benefit payment provisions of employer-sponsored health insurance coverage. So to move to some some of the analytical findings support the issue on expenditures. As you know, over one every $6 in the U.S. goes to healthcare expenditures. And this is on the slide at number 18, the significance of the issue. The rate of growth exceeds other sectors of the economy. We've seen recent moderation in the rate of growth. But this expenditure distribution is highly concentrated. It's among the largest components of both federal and state budgets. And as a consequence, issues of bending the cost curve is a key salient, both private and public payers. As of 2010, overall expenditures for healthcare totaled $2.6 trillion. That's 18% of GDP, a 4% increase over 2009. And approximately $8,400 per capita. And if there are no changes in sight by the next decade, one of every $5 is going to healthcare expenditures. To show you the concentration of expenditures, this looks at the top 1% over a 40-year period. And you can see roughly 1% of the U.S. population has been tied from 27% of expenditures to more recently 20% of expenditures in a given year. Very high concentration. The top 5% is tied to 50% of expenditures, and the top 50% is tied to 97% of expenditures. Another way of thinking about this is that 50% of Americans in a given year are only tied to 3% of the expenditures. So understanding that differential in distributions is important to estimate future costs. This shows you the newsworthiness of some of these findings. And as we move into some of the modeling that will inform the Affordable Care Act, if we're looking to project what costs will be both at the onset of the Affordable Care Act with enhanced coverage for individuals who opt in and for future years, you could draw on a rich set of predispositional measures such as sociodemographic variables, health status measures, health insurance coverage, details on health conditions as well as obesity, accidental events, prior year utilization measures, as well as prior year spending. More specifically, on the utility of the survey where it's directly being used, it's used as a baseline on current healthcare spending by source attainment. It's assessing trends in insurance coverage, specifically employer-sponsored insurance coverage, take-up of coverage, and one's eligibility for subsidies, so one can anticipate what the cost will be for these coverage expansions. It allows for evaluations of the change in health insurance coverage for young adults, looking at what the coverage rates were prior to the coverage expansion, and the recent expansion in coverage take-up by the young adult. It also allows for analysis of trends in health insurance status of high-risk individuals and their health care use and cost. In 2014, as I said, with the Medicaid expansions, there will be a federal matching rate of 100% for states that opt in. And to estimate those newly eligible who would benefit by this provision is critical for departmental estimation of what the anticipated take-up will be. As the Affordable Care Act went into play in 2010, it started with tax credits for small employers that provided health insurance coverage to their employees. It was a survey that helped the IRS and the Department of Treasury and our department set the premium base on which the tax credit would be based. And the survey will help for evaluations of the impact of the planned excise tax on the most expensive employer-sponsored health plan. I'm going to now, with the remaining 6 minutes, go into some examples of analytical utility of the survey for some of the Affordable Care Act issues. One thing is looking at the...
Please tell me which slide are you talking about.
Now I'm on assessing trends in health care burden pre and post the Affordable Care Act. It's slide 24.
Okay, got it.
It shows the percent of individuals with high out-of-pocket health care burdens. both by age, and burden is defined as out-of-pocket expenditures and healthcare premiums over family income. And if you just look at the elderly who are poor, over 50% of them have burdens over 10% of their family income. And we'll be looking carefully over time to see if that's mitigated by the benefits inherent in the Affordable Care Act. The next slide turns to a baseline for insurance coverage for different groups of the population. And if you look at those who are 22 to 26, you can see they're the highest group of being ever uninsured or fully uninsured for a given year, and the survey will be tracking progress on lowering that high estimate of the uninsured. The next slide looks at trends in premium costs for coverage. And if we look at the overall premium, you can see for family coverage, if we look at the percent increase from 2001 to 2002, it was around 10%. And cumulatively, for family coverage, is 100% by the time we got to 2011. The next slide shows what the employee contribution was, and you can see an even larger cumulative percent increase. Way down at the bottom is the increase in the CPI cumulatively, and you can see how healthcare costs are rapidly exceeding that rate, and the multiplicative effect is pretty dramatic. The next slide talks about the insurance component of the survey and a little bit more information on how that information was used to inform what the tax credit would be for small employers offering tax credits to their employees. The next slide shows you the tax credit form from the IRS, and right after that, all those state-level estimates of premiums are drawn from the Medical Expenditure Panel survey. In fact, if you look at the next bar chart, you can see overall premiums for family coverage was as low as $9,600 in Arkansas and as high as $16,000 in New Hampshire, so quite a bit of variation. We have information on trends of employers that self-insure, and in the bar graph, you can see over the last decade, expansion, particularly of large employers that are self-insuring. And the next slide is percent of establishments that offer insurance to retirees. And you can see a drop in that benefit as employers constrain their benefit structure. As I close out, the survey is being used for modeling efforts to look at costs of reform to individual households, costs to the nation, what the impact would be in changes in coverage, and what the tax impacts are. And to close out, just with one modeling analysis, here is an analytical question in terms of how much lower would out-of-pocket expenditures for care for adults with individual insurance be if they had more generous benefits typical of employer-sponsored coverage, which will be symptomatic of the Affordable Care Act. And if you look at the next slide on out-of-pocket spending for medical care and drugs, if we look at an estimate for 2008, you can see the mean spending was approximately $1,000 for those with individual non-group coverage, and 7.4% had out-of-pocket expenditures over $3,000. You can see for employer-sponsored coverage, those means are much lower, and the percent with high expenditures is also much lower. So what we did was we modeled those factors that drive differentials between people who had individual coverage and employer-sponsored coverage. We used socioeconomic factors, geographic factors, health status, and attitude and behaviors, and we were able to determine if, in fact, adults with individual coverage gained benefits typical of small employers, you would see a decrease in their out-of-pocket expenditures, and you would see a decrease in their likelihood of expenditures exceeding $3,000. That would happen if they had benefits either for small employers or large employers. So to close out, exactly after 20 minutes, I've given you an overview of the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, its analytical capacity, its capacity to inform the Affordable Care Act, and modeling efforts. I'm sorry I wasn't there in person, but thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. So, time for one question. Do you have questions? Thank you very much, Dr. Cohen.
Thank you very much. Have a good presentation, all of you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.